Good afternoon. My name is Emlyn Crane, and I'm with Unalaskans Against Sexual Assault and Family Violence, or USAVE. I'm here with a special episode of Happy Healthy Unalaska, which is a collaborative effort between USAVE and KUCB. And today we're going to be talking about grief. And I'm here with Delta Bedard, who is a behavioral health clinician with APIA. Thanks for joining us, Delta.
Well, thanks for having me.
So this seems like a difficult topic to talk about, and I know it's different for everyone, but can you outline for us what are the different stages of grief that we hear about so much?
Okay, yeah, for sure. Before I get started, though, I will say when it comes to grief and loss, a lot of times people seem to associate that with the passing of a loved one, but not in all cases that's what's going on. Sometimes what happens is you lose a job, you move out of a relationship, things like that. So there's a lot of grief and loss attached to a lot of different things. Could be childhood trauma, a lot of different things. So, but today we're going to talk a little bit more about the passing of a loved one. So some of the stages that you'll go through, there's five stages of grief and loss. They're not linear. We go between them. We'll jump from one to another and might be for a long period of time too as well. But first off, really, in most cases, is denial. So our reality is shifted dramatically, and the shock that occurs makes us believe that the incident can't be true. So we can't wrap our head around the abnormality of something happening within our normal existence.
So it really doesn't feel real.
No, it never feels real. I mean, we're trying to make some sense of something that's just
senseless
and not part of what we, our lives, what we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next one is anger. So we tend to take the event personally as if the world has conspired against us. And these unrealistic responses can perpetuate the grieving process, such as dwelling on what we feel should have happened,
mm-hmm.
What could have been, and what would have happened as a result of different choices.
Sure.
And this deprives us of closure. So I think the one thing, too, a lot of time with grief and loss, and people don't realize, is that it's about what could have been.
Mm.
And a lot of times people sit with that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some anger around that sometimes.
Of course.
You bet. Mm-hmm. And then there's bargaining. Irrationally trying to negotiate an alternative reality to override the outcome.
Like making a deal with God or something.
Exactly, exactly. So we make all sorts of deals and concessions based on with the hopes of things changing and that things going back to normal, as I said.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's depression. Sometimes people get to the point of not even caring anymore.
Sure.
Especially since they don't feel they deserve this. So when worry takes shape, it may sometimes lead to the misconception that since things went so badly, that'll inevitably continue to happen. So these are, like I say, these are the different stages of grief. The last one would be acceptance, though. And in most cases, people do get to that point. You eventually come to accept the event as undeniable and as something that can't be changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But from what you said, it sounds like not everyone might experience every stage, and not everyone will experience them in the same order. There's no script that's followed. It's different for everybody.
Exactly. And everybody grieves in their own way. So sometimes it takes people longer to grieve than others, And sometimes people will say, you just need to get over it. Well, no, you don't. You need to go through the process. You need to experience all those emotions in order to get to where you need to be and feel healthy again.
Right. You feel what you feel.
You feel what you feel. Exactly.
And so are there types of processes or what kinds of responses or might prolong or enable the grieving process?
What types of responses? Dwelling on what could have been, like I said before, sometimes, again, lacks closure.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to normalize an incident that's so abnormal, there's a risk of becoming detached and isolated and very distressed. Again, to our reality is altered, and we may find it difficult to regain peace and subsequently heal.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, we form the notion that life is not to be trusted, and we constantly worry and wait for the shoe to drop,
mm-hmm.
Which is a really uncomfortable place to be in our lives. And so what happens with some people, though, is they actually become dependent on chaos because of the trauma and the grief and the loss that's out of our control and the experiences we have around it. We become so familiar with it that it almost becomes a comfortable place to be. And is some people actually will create chaos in their lives just because there is, in their eyes, it feels, or in,
feels normal.
It feels normal.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it seems natural to me that people might dwell on what could have been because it's sort of like an escape. You're fantasizing about, you know, how you wish things were. And I think we all do things to change the way we feel when we're in pain, you mm-hmm. know, whether it's daydreaming or some people drink or use or eat too much or mm-hmm. gamble or whatever it is, you know, we want to, when we're in pain, we want to change the way we feel. So it seems totally understandable. So what are some of the emotional symptoms associated with grief and loss? And I'm trying to figure out how to ask this in an intelligent way. When should we worry about someone who has had a loss? I mean, I know we know it takes longer for some people than others, but are there things we should watch out for that says someone is so deeply entrenched in their grief that they maybe really need some extra help?
Okay, yeah, you know, and it goes back to the five stages, too. If you see somebody continuously sitting in their anger, you know, a lot of times that needs to be, you know, you need to focus on that. What can I do to help this person get past that and get unstuck? Mm-hmm. Another thing, too, is people isolate. Mm-hmm. One is they don't want to be out in public because they don't want people to see. They don't want to be vulnerable.
Sure.
They don't want to show their emotions in public because they want to be able to present themselves as strong.
Yep.
And then if they present themselves as strong and able to deal with it, then some people might think that, oh, maybe they're uncaring and maybe they're not in touch with their emotions. So rather than even going there, they'll go ahead and they'll isolate and they won't talk to people. They won't reach out, which I have to stress that when you're feeling like that, it's really important that you reach out and get help for sure.
Mm-hmm. So I know when I lost my brother, you know, the most well-meaning people would come up and say, I'm sorry about your brother, and I would immediately burst into tears, mm-hmm. which I don't think is a problem, but I knew it would make people uncomfortable, so I just didn't want to talk about it, you know. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think we're very afraid of emotions mm-hmm. in this culture. So I think, you know, of course, maybe you don't want to burst into tears in the grocery store, but you know what? If you do, you're experiencing genuine emotion and loss, and it's part of the human experience, right?
Mm-hmm. So, and most people are going to respect you for that, Lynn. Yeah. They're going to see that you're really in touch with your emotions. You're feeling it, and you're open about that. And yeah. people respect that, and they appreciate that, too.
Yeah. So how can, if someone is grieving and they're trying to find a way to live in their new normal, what can they do? What are concrete things, real things they can do to deal with their grief and to effectively rebuild some stability and rebuild their life?
Okay. Well, there's lots of different things that you can do. Many of us spend our lives running from the mistaken belief that you can't bear the pain. But you've already experienced the pain. What you're actually doing is feeling all that you are beyond the pain. That's what you're doing now. So give yourself the time to grieve, like I said before. We can do ourselves a real disservice by not grieving fully based on another person's expectations of how long they feel we should grieve. And so some of the things that you can do is focus on the positives in your life. Look at all the positive things around you, the things that, you know, count those blessings around you. Celebrate the person you grieve for and look for that silver lining, such as honoring how they influenced your life, remembering how you may have enhanced theirs, and remember that being strong means remaining hopeful and at peace in light of the tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing, keep yourself safe by sharing your story and seeking support. Reach out, really important, you know, and people will be so apt to come to your aid. Like they'll support you. They'll appreciate you even asking. So never feel like you're
a burden.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. So get excited about the future. Ask yourself often what that person would want for your future.
Right.
That there in itself gets a lot of people over that hump. When you say, okay, what would this person want for you?
Mm-hmm.
How would they want you to be processing this? Mm-hmm. What would they want for you? And most people will say, well, they want you to be happy.
Right.
They want you to move forward, look into the future, and be happy. Remain optimistic and positive and dwell on the possibilities outside the loss. Always, you know, pay attention to the other people around you, you know, your other family members and stuff that could really use your strength and your support. You know, be there for them because sometimes, again, too, we just isolate
mm-hmm.
and we aren't always there for the other people around us. And remember, it's okay to get angry. However, it's equally important to process these emotions, which will hopefully lead to a healthy closure. In addition, it's important that you get counseling for yourself and others. Mm-hmm. Extremely important.
Okay. And how can I help someone who's grieving? I've noticed, I think that when someone loses someone, maybe, you know, after a little time goes by, we're afraid to mention that person because we don't want to bring stuff up for the person who's feeling the loss. But mm-hmm. to me, it seems maybe they would appreciate being able to talk to about that person, you know, now that they're not there anymore. And maybe they don't feel like they can.
Exactly. You know, a lot of times after like a funeral or celebration of life, a lot of times people, they see that as kind of a final step, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. It's not. I'll tell you, there's a long time afterwards where people are going to need your support. They're going to want somebody to talk to. Just make sure that you're just there for them. Just let them know you're there for them. And when they're ready to come and talk to you, they will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just, you know, open the door.
And it's okay to talk about the person who was lost.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah. Of course it is. You bet. They appreciate that. And that's how they process their emotions. They need to talk about that.
Because you don't stop loving that person just because they're not here anymore. You just love them differently. And it's okay to talk about that.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. You know, in my practice, what I will do is I'll have some people write a letter to the person that's passed away. You know, let them know how much they meant to them. You know, bring up some stories that you had, some fun stories when you were together. You know, talk about that. And then write down what that person would want from them. What did that person get from you? What did you provide for them?
Right.
You know, and you know what? And sometimes people will do some rituals. They'll go out, you know, because water has healing properties,
sure.
They say. So go out, buy the water, and have a whole ritual for yourself, you know, in regards to saying goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not goodbye, but, you know, mm-hmm. to just find a sense of peace within yourself.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's great. Is there anything else that you want to talk about grief and loss and how we can help each other and help ourselves get through it?
Well, you know, there's some questions that you might want to reflect on.
Okay.
When it comes to grief and loss, are you allowing yourself adequate time to grieve without impacting the value of your everyday life? Sometimes people will compartmentalize their grief. Say, okay, within this hour and this hour, I will go between this period of time. This is when I'll talk about it. This is when I'll deal with it. Aside from that, the rest of the day is my own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you honoring your own needs, or have you gotten caught up in the chaos and lost touch with them? That's another question you might want to ask yourself.
Okay.
Are you able to ask for help? And if so, who would you consider to be your best support? Can you make an agreement with yourself to trust your own instincts and to follow your intuition? That's very important.
That sounds difficult.
It is difficult.
If you're not used to doing that.
Yeah. It's something that everybody should practice. Pay attention to your intuition because a lot of times I think we tempt fate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important that we really do follow our intuition. What is our intuition? How is it going to guide us?
Mm-hmm. And it's there for a reason.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
And we can, there's those cues out there that we, you know, when you're open to it, there's cues out there to say, okay, it's time to move past this and move on.
Mm-hmm.
Can you learn to be comfortable with the reality that sometimes there's just no answers to the complicated why questions,
mm-hmm.
and that life circumstances are sometimes out of control? And I think those why questions, because as human beings, we need clarity around everything.
It's got to make sense.
It's got to make sense.
Sometimes it doesn't.
And when it doesn't, it's so frustrating, and it's so unnerving sometimes. And it's like, but trying to find, sometimes we just need to nestle into the fact that there are no answers to those why questions.
Yeah.
You know, and then just, you know, and then we can get to that stage of acceptance.
Yeah, it's sort of like just having your world turned upside down and you just never can quite see things the same way again.
Exactly.
You know?
Again,
so,
too, we wait for the shoe to drop, you know, and that's a really tough place to be.
Yeah, that's sort of constantly being on tiptoe waiting. Yeah, that's exhausting is what it is.
It is.
Yeah. And it keeps you from experiencing all the good stuff of life that is still here. That mm-hmm. is still available to you,
mm-hmm.
you know, so.
So in summary, kind of people who are suffering from significant loss can learn to internalize the best elements of the relationship and renew their commitment to life. So I would suggest you stop, take an emotional breath, step back and remind yourself who's actually in charge of your life, which is you, And lastly, I'll just say life's challenges are not supposed to paralyze us. They're supposed to help us discover who we really are and remind us of what we're made of.
I love that. That's a great way to say it.
Thank you. Yeah, this has been great. I love visiting with you.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So for support, there are several agencies in town. I know that APIA is 581-2751 for behavioral health.
Exactly.
And
mm-hmm.
The Wellness Center is 581-2742. We've got the clinic at the IFHS Family Health Service, 581-1202. USAFE's Crisis Line is another option at 581-1500. I'm so glad that we have such great behavioral health providers in town, and we're lucky to have you. And thanks to KUCB for working with USAFE on Happy Healthy in Alaska, and I guess we'll talk to you next time. Take care.
Bye now.